question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Welcome back to the show. This portion of the program is sponsored by the good folks at Compassion International. Now, Robert, Mary, and I have been asking for your help, and we're 60% or so along the way to achieving our goal. So as we celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, what better way to make a difference than to join us and sponsor a child in need somewhere around the globe? In a world where more than a billion children live in need of our help, each and every one of us in our audience can provide such a difference with compassion, resources, and hope, which is why we're asking you all to join us by going to compassion.com/RM. And while you're there, sponsor a child or multiple children. Costs only about a dollar a day. More than 60,000 kids are on the Compassion waiting list. Many are hungry, cannot attend school, or are in poor health and neglected. When you sponsor a child, you're linked with a boy or girl who will know you by your name and treasure the thought that you care. They'll pray for you daily and write to you. The child you sponsor will be provided with health screenings, immunizations, and access to support to ensure growth, nutrition, and medical response if needed. They'll also receive educational opportunities and life skills development. So please, join us right now. Let's help these kids. Give back and change the lives of at least 100 kids. That's our goal. I know we can do this. Just go to compassion.com/RM and select your child today. You can also call 855-297-2323, or as always, there's a link with all this info on our homepage of rmworldtravel.com. So for our Right Stuff segment today, I'm delighted to introduce you to a very funny book written by my guest, John Van Soten. John, am I pronouncing your last name correctly? I know it's German.
Yes, it's Von Soten.
Von Soten. I grew up in Germany. I shouldn't.
Silent H.
John Van Soten. Now, he's a writer whose work has appeared in, among other places, Vanity Fair and GQ and Esquire. He writes regularly for one of those magazines in France. But his book is titled Monsieur Mediocre, and it's John's first-person account of marrying a French woman and taking up residence in France. It's the kind of book that makes you smile, if not laugh out loud, as I did, because it touches on so many stereotypes we Americans have of the French. A little background. John had been living as a bachelor in Brooklyn, and while in a cafe in his building, he met a woman named Anais. And am I pronouncing that one correctly? A-N-A-I-S?
Anais.
Anais, of course. Now, French, I don't speak. Well, here's how he described Anais in his book. He said, Anais had one, and this is a quote, Anais had one of those bobs with concave bangs French women seem to master, which makes them look like adorable 1960s KGB agents, unquote. I love that line, John.
Thanks.
Years on now, they're married and live in Paris with their two children, and Monsieur Mediocre is John's book, and the title is a reference to himself. Why don't we begin by asking you to explain that, John?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the idea was that, you know, the driving influence of this book was always kind of driven by a sort of disconnect that I had. But every time I'd come back to the States, you know, there were best-selling books about France, and they were always kind of, painting France in a sort of kind of refined, well-tasted, elegant light.
A Year in Provence, always, for example.
Sorry?
A Year in Provence,
or Bringing Up Baby, where the French are the masters at baby rearing, or French Women Don't Get Fat, where every woman is, severely svelte. And it always kind of painted France in this kind of dollhouse light, and it really didn't kind of jive with my present reality over there, which wasn't exceptional at all. It was pretty mediocre. So I kind of wanted to kind of paint a picture of a France that, you know, maybe Americans don't know yet. And it's not a negative thing. It's more of just France is kind of a working day, a place where you pay mortgages and you help your kids with homework you yourself don't understand. you know, you kind of grind it out that way.
How long have you been living there now?
No, since 2002. So I think we're close to 17 years now.
And
I was kind
notice-
of... I always kind of like time it with my daughter, who's 16. So, and she was born right when I arrived. So, she's the benchmark.
And now, of course, you met her. You met your wife in a cafe in New York. Why aren't you living in America?
Well, that's the thing. I think you know, my wife at the time was an actress. She still is, and I think, you know, working as a French actress in France gives you a little more roles than working in the States. So she kind of convinced me it would be a better place to have a kid at least and to, you know, live an artistic life, which we both wanted to do. So, you know, I was sold. You know, it doesn't happen all the time that somebody wants you to bring you back to Paris. So I thought, why not? And
Good move. Yeah, let me reintroduce you, John. If you've just tuned in, we're talking with an author named John Van Soten. He's got a brand new book out. It's nonfiction. It's his story of moving 17 years ago to France with his girlfriend that he met in New York. They are married and live in Paris now. The book is called Monsieur Mediocre, and he's explained the title, suggesting that, you know, life in Paris isn't quite what you imagine it in the movies, and as you might imagine, if you only go there once a year, every 5 years. So give us a couple cultural touchstones in France that surprised you and are different than the way we might do things here in the States.
Right. Well, you know, I think a lot of the chapters, I kind of wanted to take you through these different sort of temples of Frenchness that we always kind of
envy.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of walk you through maybe a French wedding, either it be ours or all the French weddings I've attended since we've moved there, and how they always kind of end in a rainy tent somewhere in a field because nobody really wants to have a wedding in Paris because it's too expensive. You know, I take you on vacation with French people who I found out always want to do stuff in groups. So you can't really ever have any time to just be solo and read on your own. You have to do everything as a group, and that kind of leads to tension after 2 weeks.
And it seemed like there are a lot of planned activities on these 12 to 16 people group vacations.
Yes. I mean, one of the vacations we were on, the first day I noticed a sort of a kind of like corkboard list of activities or ateliers, as they call it. And each person was supposed to mark down their sort of talent, and they would be teaching an atelier during that trip. So there was a yoga atelier, there was a volleyball atelier, there was a philosophy atelier. And my biggest worry was, what am I going to teach?
That's right. You're a writer. Whatever a writer is worth for anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So what did
you
teach?
You got it or you don't.
So what did you teach?
I taught where to find the hiding John, because all the time I was just running around trying to hide from all these activities all the time.
do you ride in a bicycle with a beret and buy a baguette every morning for the family?
No, actually, I don't. That's kind of one of the myths I try to bust as well. You know, but at the same time, these things do exist. You know, the wine and the baguette stuff does exist, but it's just, you know, it's in a different sort of setting. You know, we live in the 10th arrondissement, which is a pretty gritty part of northern Paris. It's right near the Gare du Nord. Lots of trash, lots of kebab stands. 28% of the population are first-generation immigrants like me. You know, even during Ramadan, we have tables out on the sidewalk for people who want to eat and can hold out until sunset. So, you know, it's just like these kind of visions of, and this is very modern France for me. And it evokes a vision that usually doesn't correspond with what we think of as France, you know, back home.
You also say that schooling is a bit different, that in the minute and a half we have left, there are not a whole lot of helicopter moms around, that the kids are sort of sink and swim. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, it's pretty sink and swim, and I think the school establishes early on that they don't need your stress and they don't want it. So you're welcome to, you know, have your child attend, but you know the doors close at 8:30, and no moms are going to be lingering around to see if their kid is getting along or not.
Oh yeah, you wrote that the doors do close at 8:30, and if you get there at 8:34, you may be plumb out of luck.
If you get there at 8:31, you're plumb out of luck. You know, I've seen dads holding their kids at the door saying, "But I have a meeting at 9." and the director of the school is just looking through them like fogged glass, you know.
How's the language been for you?
The language is, you know, I tell everybody I kind of speak French like Arnold Schwarzenegger speaks English, you know. You mean you understand everything I say, but nobody thinks I'm French. So
right. Even after 17
fluent,
years?
But I'm not completely fluent like my kids.
Even after 17 years, they pick the accent up immediately that you're not French?
Yeah, they pick the accent up, and it's horrible. You know, even I'll be in the neighborhood sometimes, and people will stop me for directions. And it's one of these times where I can shine and tell them exactly where to go, and then I start speaking, and they'll gun the car and go, "No, thank you, merci, bye-bye."
I say that when I try to speak French, having grown up in Germany, when I try to speak French, French people cover their ears and make an excruciating face and start speaking to me in English immediately.
Yeah, that's always a humiliating thing, yeah, you know, especially with waiters. You'll be making your order, and then they'll respond in English. Do you want that medium or rare?
Well, it's
and I'm trying to make an effort here, you know.
It's an engaging book. It's a humorous. If you enjoy all things French and you're Francophile, read Monster Mediocre. It's a brand new book by John Vatt Sutton. His last name is spelled Von, V-O-N, Sotten, I guess, excuse me, S-O-T-H-E-N. The H is quiet. Did I? Von Sotten, right?
That's perfect. There you got it, Rudy.
Took a while.
You nailed it.
John, I really appreciate your stopping by, and I appreciate especially you writing your book, because writing a book is more fun after it's published than when it's not. So, congratulations.
Yes, I agree.
Take care.
Okay,
and have
well,
a lovely
thanks so much
year.
For having me.
I know you're
okay.
From the U.S. Have a lovely stay. Take care. We will be right back after this break.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.